We need to go back because last week I was odd. And I think it was last week. Was it last week we talked about Baruch? Was it last week? And then Baruch was supposed to carry us into this penknife guy that came with the knife and cut this thing all up. And I got down to the Baruch, and my life just went bonkers for the rest of the week. So, and then we got into Jeremiah going to prison. Well, we've missed a few things. I don't want to skip. We're still doing Jeremiah. I cannot just breeze through Jeremiah. That's just all there is to it. I've had a couple of people write to me and say they're reading Jeremiah again and they're getting more out of it than they ever did before. I've heard a couple say that Jeremiah still doesn't make sense. So if we'll still see if I can't still help you understand a marvelous situation. Reminding ourselves that we're going back to Old Testament so we can learn from them. It says these things happen unto them for ensamples. Remember, we say not example, but ensamples. So we can learn an awful lot from Jeremiah, written for our admonition. It says they're written for our learning. And this will give us comfort of the Scriptures, because we can go back and look at what God really did, because God was God then. And like the old commercial, you don't mess with Mother Nature. Well, the truth of the thing is you don't mess with God. And so, what can we learn from that? Well, I think the biggest thing that we can learn from that is the fact that we don't have to worry about what these guys had to worry about. I mean, to me, and I keep thinking about what went on in those days. I thought, well, boy, that's horrible. And they would still do these things. So, I appreciate what God has done for me today. What has God done for you? Well, He came down and sacrificed Himself, so we can not have to have these punishments put on us. Then the second thing that I realized, or I think about for me, is the fact that He doesn't ignore the punishment that we should have today, right? He doesn't now suddenly ignore it because we're Christians. He actually took the punishment that He's putting on these guys because He's holy. In order for us to be in the position that we're in, He did that, all that stuff. He had to take that upon Himself. And that reminds me probably more of anything, causes me to remember more than anything the fact that He didn't just ignore it. He still did it. The penalty still had to be paid. And so maybe that will help us as we deal with Paul and the things that Paul would have us do. So let's go to Jeremiah 36. We'll go back a notch or two here. Jeremiah chapter 36. And it's nothing that we haven't read before, but honestly, we've come up here with, I think it's 6 or 7 sermons on Jeremiah, and there's a couple more coming, probably at least one more, maybe two, or who knows. And I'm happy about that, because of all the things that we've done, of all the things that we've done here at the church over the years, the sermons and things, is that we have online for people to read and try to catch a hold of Paul and stuff, is there's nothing on there about Jeremiah. Zip. I guess I have 4 sermons on there from a long time ago. So I'm actually kind of doing this in some ways for other folks who have never read through Jeremiah, and or they've read through it. Kind of, there it was and there it was. But I'm hoping we can see some example in there. So Jeremiah chapter 36, verse... Well, I guess your mother will start at 1, I suppose. You know, the first 5 we did last week about Baruch. And it came to pass in the 4th year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying... And I always remind kids right here that this is how God talked to the people. He would talk to the prophet, He would talk to the man, who would then go and talk to the people. So you've gotten that by now, right? Danica, do you understand that? They didn't have a Bible. When God wanted Jeremiah to tell somebody something, He actually had to tell Jeremiah. Okay? And when God wants to tell you something, kids, how does He tell you? He tells you in that Bible. Well, you can't read your Bible yet. You're getting there. So He has your parents read the Bible, and He tells your parents in their reading what they need to transfer to you. And see, I'll put out this. I don't mean this in the real... I guess I do, but... See, if your parents don't read the Bible, you can't going to hear from God what God wants from you, or for you, or to you, not from you, but to you. We're trusted parents to be reading their Bibles and telling you what that Bible says. So, well, that's a guilt trip on a parent, isn't it? Whoa, man. But that is really very true. Okay, so anyway, take thee a roll of a book and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee from the days of Josiah even unto this day. So there's the command. There's what has to be done here. Now look at who he's having to tell. I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day I spake unto thee from the days of Josiah even unto this day. We would put that word in what we would put that verse into one word. He is supposed to tell who? Everyone. Okay, everyone needs to hear this. Verse 3. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. So why is it that God is telling Jeremiah to do this? Maybe they will still turn from their evil. Why do parents still talk to you about your kids about until they tell you things about life, and these are things that are not good, but why is that? Because they want to get you to turn from evil or stop you from doing wrong. It's very simple. So this is the same thing God is telling Jeremiah. Go tell everybody what I'm going to tell you because I want them to turn from their evil. Verse 4. Then Jeremiah called Baruch, the son of Neriah, and Baruch wrote from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the Lord, which is spoken unto him upon a roll of a book. Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up. I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Now, if you go back to chapter 32, you see the fact that Jeremiah was also imprisoned for this part. So there's two ways of looking at the fact that he was shut up. And the one that I talked about last week is the fact that people aren't listening to him. And he can't tell them anything, that kind of a thing. There's a lot of verses that say they don't listen to him. They want to hear his words. And yet he was also in a jail situation. Verse 5. Jeremiah commanded Baruch, saying, I am shut up, I cannot go into the house of the Lord. Therefore, go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day, and also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. That's quite a statement. That's quite a command. Look at verse 6 again. Go thou, verse 6, chapter 36, verse 6. Therefore, go thou and read in the roll which thou hast written from my mouth, the words of the Lord, in the ears of the people, in the Lord's house, upon the fasting day, and also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of their cities. So they're having a fast. They're even doing the little religious things in those days. And Jeremiah is supposed to go there. Judd Brook is going to go there and going to show them these things and read these things. Okay, verse 7. So here it is again. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return everyone from his evil way, for great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. So there's two verses that tell us that God would certainly like to see these people turn from their evil way. Jeremiah would like to see these people turn from their evil way. And Baruch, remember Baruch? He didn't want to do this. He was kind of whiny, and God kind of accused him of wanting to do things for himself, make great gain himself. But he's doing this because this is what he knows he needs to do this. Verse 8. And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. Now, aren't you glad that you have a Bible? Aren't you glad that you don't have to trust me to tell you what God tells me to tell you? I mean, really, we have to remind ourselves how great it is that we have this Bible. And I'll say it again, just for the record on the website, I suppose, is this Bible did not exist before 1611. And before 1611, there's always that transition in there. But before that, there were Bibles. There were Bibles, but they weren't what? They weren't complete. It wasn't done. It wasn't, poof, there it is. And so because of that, the verses before 1 Corinthians 13:10 tell us that God we speak to people in their ways, to speak to the pastors or the missionaries or whatever was going on. God still had to work on the hearts of these people and work on their minds. And we can't tell people that where was the Bible before 1611? It wasn't in a bunch of little pieces of paper. And it was. It was in the process of being written and completed. But I really believe that's how important this Bible is, this King James Bible. I think it's far more important than we realize. Up until this time, they didn't have what we can do. And so that just reminds me, not about you, but it reminds me how spoiled I am. Because if I lived in those days, I would probably say something like Job would say, can't you just put this in a book and I can read it much easier and study it much better and I can do it whenever I have any free time, kind of a thing. And Job even said, I'll carry it before I go. Well, here we are. We have everything that God wants man to know. Not in part of it. It's all right there. So anyway. Well, the way I went on that thing is there's a number of verses that talk about how the Jeremiah people. You see, look at 18. Look, I think it's chapter 18. It's one of them. 18 or 20 here. Let's look here. I think it's 18. Yeah, 18 verse 18 is one of them. He was in 32. It does say. Strictly says that Jeremiah the prophet was shut up in the court of the prison. So he was already in prison, that kind of a deal. However, the direction I went with this thing is because of today. In verse 18, they say, come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. And there are a number of verses that tell us that they would listen to him. And if you know, we're not shut up, we're not locked up in any prison anywhere, unless we're in our own little worldly prisons and cages, and our jobs give us a cage and a prison and our families and that kind of a thing. But you know yourself that when you try to talk to somebody, they don't want to listen to you. Just want to listen to you. And they used to listen to us. You know, they really did. They used to listen to the King James guys, and we used to be able to witness to people, and they never knew that their Bible had all these mistakes and changes made. They would, a lot of people go, I just didn't know that. And then they're willing to look at a King James Bible. I'm shocked. I didn't know my Bible was missing so much. And what do? They got a King James Bible. There used to be days that would happen. But and it still can. Your mother did. I'm not sure where we're going to go with that thing, which is hard, but she did get one. So we just answer that question as we are shut up. They don't listen to us. And as a pastor, that was my direct point. Now, if I go into this again, I go bonkers and have another bad week. I'm not looking forward to this. But I got into the fact that as a pastor who's been in homes and been around and talked to these people, and not just here, but website people, and know what's going on and seeing things that are to me, are just, in some cases, are really, really hard to see. And then to try to tell somebody. And they're not listening. And so my point was that we need a Baruch here at this church, somebody who can come here and maybe say some things that I can't say. Because A, I've either said them and totally ignored, or it's just something I really can't say. But the doctors have things they can't say to people, I suppose. That's what hypocritical or whatever that seems to be called. And pastors have to do the same thing. And it's hard. And last week, in two instances, I did say some things. And, uh-oh. I feel it. starting to happen. Some things were said. I did say some things to a couple of parents. And my observation so far is that I don't know where it went. I don't know. And so a Baruch could come in here like he did with Jeremiah. Jeremiah, shut up. Back to 36. And Baruch's got to go to this king and take these words that God told Jeremiah to write down. So he has Baruch write these things down, and Baruch can go do this. Now, Jeremiah gets involved eventually, but that's what that was all about. That's what that whole thing meant. You know, you as a parent, now here we go, as a parent, there's some things you said to your kids that they just don't hear. Have you noticed that? How many parents here have noticed that you tell your kids some things that they don't hear? Somebody else comes along, says the same thing, and they hear it. And it's like, excuse me, what is the deal here? I had told you that before. Yeah, but you're my parent. That's kind of a thing. It's almost like in some cases, parents need Baruchs to come along and say some things to their kids that the mom and dad have been saying for years. And, yeah, mom, I know, I hear you. And then, it's just like when I was a band director. I never liked substitute band directors until I found out that they would come in and they would correct the same mistakes I was trying to correct. Oh, okay, or a teacher. Or, just whatever. So anyway, that's why the whole thing about Baruch. And if you go to chapter 45, your question wasn't about Baruch, it was about shut up. But it takes us to Baruch. Okay. If you go to chapter 45, which is a real short chapter, it tells us about Baruch. He kind of didn't want to do this. And God kind of had to talk to him kind of firmly. So he's doing it. Okay, verse 36, here we go. We'll do 8 again. And Baruch the son of Neriah did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the Lord in the Lord's house. Okay, now, I know we know the story, but let's read through this thing, because to me it's still quite interesting with some highlights as we go here. Verse 9. And it came to pass in the fifth year of Jehoiakim, there's the guy, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, in the ninth month, that they proclaimed a fast before the Lord to all the people in Jerusalem, and to all the people that came from the cities of Judah and unto Jerusalem. And isn't that what he said that they were supposed to do? See, there it is again. Then read Baruch in the book the words of Jeremiah in the house of the Lord, in the chamber of Gemariah, the son of Shaphan the scribe, in the higher court, at the entry of the new gate of the Lord's house, in the ears of all the people. So he's preaching. He's reading the words. When Micaiah, the son of Jeremiah, the son of Shaphan, had heard out of the book all the words of the Lord, then he went down into the king's house. Now I stop there, because he heard all the words of the Lord. You know, part of our problem, folks, is we don't hear all that we need to hear. I mean, I've got guys going to be gone today because of work and everything like that. They may listen to the CDs or they may not. But as far as the Bible goes, have you read all the Bible? Have you read it rightly divided? Have you concentrated on what's to you? Do you know all the exhortation? Do you know all the ways we were comforted? Do you know all the ways that we've been, all the things that we've been charged? Because if you don't, you're going to make some decisions based on scriptures that are going to be wrong because you haven't heard all the words that are there. So I've underlined the phrase there, all the words of the Lord. Oh, it's fine. Is that any better at all? I mean, all the words of the Lord. Verse 12. Then he went down into the king's house. I'm sure glad he didn't go down too early. Then he went down into the king's house, into the scribe's chamber, and lo, all the princes sat there, even Elishama the scribe, and Delilah the son of Shemaiah, and Elnathan, the son of Achbor, and Gemariah, the son of Shaphan, and Zedekiah, the son of Hananiah, and all the princes. Then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard, when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. Now, you must imagine that this guy must have a good memory. Have you tried to tell your husbands the whole entire sermon after they were gone with? Can you remember all that stuff? Did you maybe rearrange it to your satisfaction? But when we go out and we tell people about the things that we're learning, are we capable of telling all the words of what you've learned? Maybe that's part of our problem, When Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. Therefore, we got a process going on here. Therefore, all the princes sent Jehudai, the son of Nathaniah, the son of Shemaiah, the son of Cushi, unto Baruch, saying, take in thine hand the roll wherein thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. Saul Baruch, the son of Neriah, took the roll in his hand and came unto them. And they said unto him, sit down now and read it in our ears. So Baruch read it in their ears. Wouldn't that be neat? Now that isn't necessarily the neatness of this whole thing, but if somebody said to you, I heard somebody calls in. The other day, Louis called. He was telling me some stuff. And I tell you what, it was very interesting. Would you come over, bring that Bible, and tell me what's in that book? Wouldn't that be neat? Or if your wife is saying something to somebody, and they call up and say, would you please come over and have Louis show me the whole entire Bible? There you go. Somebody calls, Jimmy, can you come up? I've heard some things at work, some of the firefighters, and would you please come over and tell me the whole thing, everything that's in there? And you know, you can do that. You can do that in one sitting. Right, Tim? Remember? Genesis to Revelation. And Bob's daughter and her friend. This is the whole thing. Genesis to Revelation. Showed how to rightly divide that book. We basically showed them the entire Bible. It can be done. Okay, verse 16. Now here we go. So he did. He read it in their ears. Now it came to pass, when they had heard all the words, they were overjoyed. No, they were afraid, both one and another, and said unto Baruch, we will surely tell the king all these words. Now, we already know it's not looking good, because if they were overjoyed, they're going to go tell the king. But they were afraid, they're going to go tell the king. There's a difference there. And they asked Baruch, saying, tell us now, how didst thou write all these words at his mouth? What do they ask us? Where do you think this Bible came from? You really think this is from God? I mean, where did you get this? What makes you think this is from God? Because they've been told that it's not. Then Baruch answered them, he pronounced all these words unto me with his mouth, and I wrote them with ink in the book. Isn't that a good answer? How'd you come up with this book? Well, somebody told me some words, took some paper and some ink, and I wrote it down. I like that answer. That is very good. Don't be that way to your parents, though. Don't be quite, you know. What are you doing up so early? Well, I got out of bed, turned the doorknob, and walked out. That's asking for trouble. See, this is, don't go there. Then said the princes unto Baruch, verse 19, go, hide thee, thou and Jeremiah, and let no man know where ye be. They're going to go to the king. They know that these are some powerful words here. And they went into the king, into the court. But they laid up the roll in the chamber of Elishama, the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudi to fetch the roll. And he took it out of Elishama, the scribe's chamber. And Jehudi read it in the ears of the king, and in the ears of all the princes which stood before the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. Now why does he have to talk about this? Well, there's the next verse. You know exactly what's going on here. And it came to pass, it'd be like somebody invites you over to talk about the book, and then they sit you down at the couch there, and they tell you to get out your book, and they say, just wait a minute. And they go over to his office, and they come out with a paper shredder. And they set it right next to where they're sitting. Go ahead. You know what's coming. Can I borrow your book for a minute? No. You ever felt that way when people want to look at the Bible verses and they want to hold your Bible? I don't like to do that anymore because I can see somebody getting so mad they can stomp it, throw it down and stomp on it. And I would not be happy with that. I don't mind, you know, you people looking at our stuff, but if an unsaved or a modern Christian or something, I would, if I were to loan them the Bible to see it, boy, my hand wouldn't be far from it. You ever consider that? Like, it could happen. And you'd be pretty upset. I know some people will give their Bible to somebody. And we have Bibles to give to people. So, anyway, that's just a thought. Am I sounding more normal today, though, a little bit? Okay, that's good. I probably should go back and watch those sermons from last week and just go, ooh. And it came to pass that when Jehudi had read three or four leaves, well, he really got into this, didn't he? three or four leaves. He cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, until all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Now, he only heard three or four leaves. Unless these are huge leaves, he didn't even hear the rest. Is that a normal assumption of that verse? When he had read three or four leaves, he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire. I mean, he did not get very far. You ever, somebody asks you a question and you start to answer it, and you know within seconds they're looking around, they're hearing something else, or they've just been distracted, they're just not doing it out there. Have you ever noticed that? That's what the king, three or four leaves, and he's already rejected this thing into the fire. Verse 24. Yet were they not afraid, nor rent their garments, neither the king nor any of his servants that heard all these words. Now, it seems to me that back in verse 16, somebody was afraid. And now we're no longer afraid. What'd they do? Boy, we got rid of that. What was that? We got rid of the book. They're no longer afraid. Why do we see people get rid of that King James Bible today? They don't like it. They don't want to hear it. They don't last very long. They don't even give us the chance to talk about Paul anymore. Rightly so, in some cases, because we've blown it so bad that we scared them so much, or we preach the Great Commission, God will burn your house, kill your kids, all that kind of stuff, or they see bad testimonies or whatever, but they don't want this book. And when they get you to quit talking, or they know they got rid of this book, they're happy. They're not afraid anymore. You go over to somebody's house, you go to a reunion or a wedding or a funeral or a party or whatever like that, or you just go to visit somebody's house and you come walking into their Bible, they'll never admit it, but they don't like it. Whether they're afraid, I think that's kind of what it is. And yet if they say to you, next time you come over, by the way, please don't bring your Bible. Did you have anybody ever tell you that? They may not have told you not to bring your Bible, but they don't want to talk to you about spiritual things. Have you ever heard that? Okay. Then they're no longer afraid. Same thing. The whole concept is there is because it's truth. It's not just Bible as such, but they recognize this as a Bible. But even just being the Christian, if you can come over, but don't. I mean, they probably would never say this, but don't wear that dress. Come over and come visit us, or we'll go out with you for dinner. But by the way, don't whatever. And if they don't say something like that, I still believe that they're thinking that. Yeah, we're going to go eat dinner with four or five couples, and yeah, the Turners are going to be there, and Dana's going to probably be in that stupid dress. I really believe people think that a lot. And when you give in and you dress like they do and you talk like they do, I mean, sometimes you'll hear a joke and you don't laugh. They know you're not laughing. You can be watching a movie, watching TV, and you know the sitcoms are full of baloney. You know that the movies today are not good. And you can be sitting there watching that movie, and the innuendo, a dirty joke will come along, and you don't laugh. A, you shouldn't be there, but if you're there, in all these situations, and you don't laugh. That's what we're seeing right here with these guys. They were afraid. They got rid of the book. Now they're not afraid. They were afraid, but if they can get you to laugh at a dirty joke, they're not afraid. They're not convicted. They're not thinking God. If they can get you to wear dress like they do, if they can get you to go to the places they go to, then they're winning. And then that spiritual fear, or whatever you want to call it, of the book or of truth is gone. And we can't let that happen. Really, we can't let that happen. If you're in a place and a dirty joke pops up, don't laugh. If you're in a place and somebody gets a temper going and angry, don't laugh at it and don't encourage it. If you're someplace where you're dressed right, then don't be ashamed. If you're someplace and you've got your Bible and you're bored and you want to, you can't look at the People magazine because there's nothing you do sometimes, but get out your Bible and be that way. Look what's going on in the churches. Look at the music they're doing now. Look at how they're dressing in churches. Look at what the pastors are talking about now. Just look what's happened. And Jeremiah does call it doing something. He calls it trimming their way. Why trimmest thou thy way? And that's what everybody's doing, is they're trimming their way. When you laugh at a joke, you're trimming your way. Why? Because you don't want to be argued? No, you don't want to lose a friend. You sit there and you continue to watch something you know you shouldn't watch. Why? You don't want to get an issue started. You're trimming your way. And listen, we all do it. Don't anybody sit in here this morning and say you don't do that. We do that. But we ought not. We ought not. Verse 24. Must have started at the top of my page anyway. Yet they were not afraid, nor rent their garments. Neither the king nor any of his servants had heard all these words. Nevertheless, Elnathan and Deliah and Gemariah had made intercession to the king that he would not burn the roll. Ah, see, there are still a few folks. All right. King, vote, stop, don't do that. But he would not hear them. But they said it anyway. Wouldn't the book already been in the fire by now, according to this thing here? You still can stick up. So there's three more heroes, Elnathan and Delet and Gemariah. They tried to get in the... But the king commanded Jeremishamiel, the son of Hamelech, and Sariah, the son of Israel, and Shelemiah, the son of Abiel, to take Baruch, the scribe, and Jeremiah, the prophet. Well, they were probably going to go into the fire. throw the book away and then take them. But the Lord hid them. Just a thought. In this time, the Lord hid them. What about today? What do so many Christians say? Well, God will just take care of it. And if we need to get out of a situation, like a movie, or a bad place where people aren't dressing right, or just a bad testimony for your kids, it happened again, caught me totally off guard. I would have preached it Sunday, the homecoming parade. I would have preached that Wednesday. What's today? Sunday. Okay, I would have. See, that's not all back yet. I would have preached against, don't let your kids see the parade. What's wrong with the parade? Nothing. That particular parade tells your kids that school is a whole lot more fun than what you're doing at home. I hate the homecoming parade. I despise it because I know what it does to your kids. So what do we have? My question is this, as I try to get back to where I was at here. The Lord will not hide you, but the Lord will not hide your kids for you from things. Here the Lord hid Jeremiah and Baruch. But he won't hide your kids. That's your job. He won't get you out of a situation. That's your job. If you're in a situation where people aren't dressed right, you need to be the one to get out of there. God isn't going to just go, huh? You're not going to all of a sudden get this magical feeling and leave. If you're in a place where there's a television or videos or movies of some sort or radio or whatever goes on, you need to be the one to get. God will not hide you. We have to be the ones. And you see why that is? Because we have a book now. He's given us a book so he can tell us, hey, you shouldn't be here. You shouldn't be doing this. You shouldn't let your kids see this. He tells us in here. He says, now you need to go. You know, from such withdraw, I have no company with, and all those verses. In Jeremiah's day, God hid Jeremiah. In our day, we got to get up and do what we need to do. Because he's given us that book. So, if I go any further, I'll go back into my last week mentality status, which is really scary. Verse 27. Then the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah. After that, the king had burned the roll, and the words which Baruch wrote at the mouth of Jeremiah, saying, now picture this, you just wrote a book and it's all been destroyed now. And they hadn't invented copy machines yet, so you didn't have one in the bottom drawer. So that's what I would have done. Take thee again another roll and write it all the former words that were in the first roll, which Jehoiakim the king of Judah hath burned. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, thus saith the Lord. See, there it is. We say to people, what ought we say? You know, the scriptures say, the Bible says, and I have a hard time with this thing. I believe, it doesn't matter what we believe. The scripture says, the Bible says. Well, it says in the book of Romans, you know, Philemon says this, or Philippians chapter 4 says this. So that's just, he says here, you know, take another role. And thou shalt say to Jehoiakim, king of Judah, verse 29, thus saith the Lord. Start off with that. I guess we could say that too, couldn't we? I mean, why not say that? Thus saith the Lord. And you know, right off the bat, you're going to get one of these. Oh, please. You know. It's like my favorite thing to say to somebody. Well, haven't you been praying for the truth? Yeah, I have.
Yeah.
And I like that so much. I'm here. The prayer has been answered. What are you talking about? Right here, the Bible. I'll show you the King James Bible. You've been praying for truth? Here it is. But I always like to start off with this, just to kind of shock them, you know. I probably shouldn't. That's kind of a sarcastic, unpolished way. Thou hast burned this roll. Thus saith the Lord. Thou hast burned this roll, saying, why hast thou written therein, saying, the king of Babylon shall certainly come and destroy this land, and shall cause to cease from thence man and beast? Because that's what was said in that book. Therefore, thus saith the Lord of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, he shall have none to sit upon the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out into the day to the heat, and in the night to the frost. And I will punish him and his seed and his servants for their iniquity. And I will bring upon them and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem and upon the men of Judah all the evil that I have pronounced against them, but they hearken not. Well, why didn't Jeremiah just tell them that in the first place? Well, he did. It was in a book. Get rid of the book. So what does Jeremiah say? He steps up to the plate and says, you know what? God's going to really get you for this. God's going to get you. 32. Then Jeremiah took another roll and gave it to Baruch the scribe, the son of Neriah, who wrote therein from the mouth of Jeremiah all the words of the book which Jehoiakim, king of Judah, had burned in the fire. And I've wondered about this next step sentence for so many years. And there were added besides unto them many like words. That little thing right there stuck with me for so many years, because I'm certainly not saying that the book that Jeremiah wrote to the king was the Bible, but it was a roll that God told Jeremiah to tell Baruch to write. So they were the words of God written down into a roll, into a book. So they got rid of the original. Right? The original's gone. Here's another one. Next translation, da-da-da-da, more words were added. And you're not supposed to add or take away any of the word, that kind of a thing. And for the longest time, I shouldn't have been. I mean, it's an easy thing. When you go back and you look at the translations and things, I mean, that's the main things. Even the English, they've got words that are different. Remember, we've been through all that. But now, why isn't that possible? Because, see, now it's complete. So that's not because they'll pull that on you. They'll throw that verse at you about the old. It says right there, God added words in the originals. Well, that's okay. You know, if you were to find the originals, it wouldn't even match up with the King James Bible at all, right? Because you're going through all these different things. It's been preserved. It's been polished. It's been cleaned up. It's gone into English, going from Syriac and Latin to German to Greek to English. It's just not going to match. But that's okay. Why don't they do it still? Because this one's complete. That verse, 1 Corinthians 13:10, is a huge, huge verse. In fact, we were talking the other day, 1 Corinthians 13:10 is more important than 2 Timothy 2:15, 16. More important than that one. Because before you rightly divide, you've got to have the confidence that that is the word of God. That is the book. That which is perfect has come. Get that thing down. That eliminates all the stuff beforehand on the physical kingdom stuff, and now rightly divide it. So that's actually, that 1 Corinthians 13:10 comes before 2 Timothy 2:15 and 16 in importance. Not a whole lot much different, but it is more important to realize this is the word of God. This is complete. It is done. We knew what took place before it. We knew that the translators, to put this into the King James Bible in English, God even had to tell them some things. But now he won't do that anymore. Now, right, divide the thing. And you know how to do your kids. Anyway, there you are.